Do you consider it the sweetest thing you ever heard? Well, if you're saved and born again, there's nothing more precious than Jesus and the story of redemption. Turn in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 4. And do remember Sister Kim in your prayers. Not here today, sick. So remember her that the Lord might touch and heal. And she'll be able to be with us Wednesday evening, Lord willing, hopefully. Ephesians chapter 4, and it having been a couple weeks since we've been in this, let's begin reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Or it could have just as well been, for there is one body. There is one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We concluded last week verse 4. One Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. What a blessed hope that is. I remember as a child, about 9 years old, hoping to get a bicycle for my birthday. And that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. This is a hope that is sure and steadfast. We're expecting it. It's going to be, you see. So this week we're ready for one Lord. As the word means in the Greek, master. And because the word is capitalized, it is the Lord, the Master. There's not another. I was even thinking this afternoon of the one body. This has reference to the body at Ephesus and the body here at Melbourne, the Grace Baptist Church. But there are several one bodies, even this present day, across the world, that are His bodies. How does that work? How do you divide the one Lord up amongst all those different one bodies? Well, you don't. You understand the Lord is God. And what Scripture reveals to us about God is He's everywhere. We getting down to verse 6. He's in each one of us.
Amen.
And through us all. And it's that way with all His bodies, because He's omnipresent. He could be everywhere at one time. Don't try to go too far with that in your mind. You can't. Because we're finite creatures. And we just can't even begin to comprehend being every place at once and knowing all that goes on. We can't comprehend that. So this one Lord here is literally one Lord. There's one Lord, no other. Just like one God. A lot of little G's. A lot of little L's. But there's only one Lord.
Amen.
The Lord. This is not just one of a kind. Yes, He is one of a kind. But He's not just one of a kind. There's actually only one. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So, this God is Lord. He's one Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. In verse 6, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." One Lord Jesus Christ, one God.
one Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is Lord. He is God.
You see the thrust of that Old Testament passage? Hear, O Israel, God is one Lord. You see, he's referencing at least the Trinity there in that statement. Looking to the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that said, He is Lord. Right? I'm going to just say this before we get into other scriptures here. Other scriptures which are going to bear this out. What about those, and hopefully no one here has ever said that, that say, you get saved, and then sometime after that, you make Him Lord of your life. What about those who say, and maybe some have said this, make Him Lord of your life? He's already Lord.
Amen.
We just need to yield. That's Scripture. Yield to Him. Yield to His mastership. Yield to His lordship. He's Lord. You didn't make Him Lord, and I didn't make Him Lord. God made Him Lord. So, we want to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord by right of creation, is He not?
Yes.
By right of creation, and therefore, if He's Lord of creation, He's Lord of all. Right? He's the master of all. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here, making reference that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By whom? By the Word. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We owe our very existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and unsaved, you owe your existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not anything made that was made without Him. Look at another passage in the book of Acts in chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Who is? Jesus Christ is. Lord of all. Back to the book of John and the 17th chapter. In verses 1 and 2, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said,
Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus Christ was given power over all flesh in virtue of his being creator. And it was given power to him to give eternal life to all those that were chosen in God, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. So, I owe my possession of eternal life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse Jr., you owe your possession of eternal life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you everlasting life because you were given to Him before the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, but I love that. I love that. I like that. Romans chapter 9. Oh, that's some of our favorite passages, is it not? Yes. Romans 9. But let's look a little before that. Let's look at verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. God blessed forever. I mean, Christ is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Wow. Paul is giving praises to God for the fact that Christ Jesus is over all flesh, Lord of all. So he's Lord over all by right of creation, by right of his being their maker. And we that are saved, he's the means by which we have everlasting life. Secondly, he's our Lord. He gave us, talking about the saved now, he gave us everlasting life. But he bought us. You see, that's how that he gave us everlasting life, by buying us, by purchasing us, by redeeming us. We're his. We're his. Well, you've heard me say it before. I wish that tomorrow when I go out of the house and go about my business, I'd remember that. I wish I would remember that in all aspects of my life, in all areas of my life. When somebody smites me on the cheek, I wish I would remember that I'm his. And what did he tell me? He tells me to forgive and leave the vengeance up to him. We were talking afterwards back there for a while. What's that do when we react by turning the other cheek?
When we react in a merciful way, what's that do? That gives a testimony, an example to the one who did the smiting, to the one who's taken us to court. If we're willing to go the extra mile, hey, boy, this is a weird duck here. This is a strange individual. Well, we're called to be different. We're called to be peculiar. We're called to be strange, not by the world's standards of strange, strange. We're not to be like them. We'll be in this book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be getting into that area. We're not to be like the world anymore. He says, in that fourth chapter, he says, you've not so learned Christ. This ain't what you learned about Christ. This wasn't what he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And then he gave us the example all of his life of how that we ought to react and be. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His. We like to say, oh, I'm a child of God. I love Jesus. But then our life bears something different. A behavior which is not becoming to a child of God. Listen, all this is the point that He's Lord. He's my Redeemer. And He has the right as Lord and Redeemer to tell me to love one another, to obey His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, He said. He owns us. We're His. And He loves us, as was demonstrated by giving His life for us, paying our sin debt at Calvary. And that wasn't the end of it. He cares for me. He provides for me. One place it says, be not anxious about tomorrow. It's coming up in Matthew chapter 6. Another place he said, he terms it care. It's the same Greek word. One place is translated cares, one place is translated anxious, and it's talking about worrying. Because he provides. He takes care. He's not going to let you do without what you absolutely need. That's not all. He intercedes on our behalf. I know the one scripture I can find real easy. The other one's in, I think, maybe first. I think maybe in 1 Timothy 2. Yeah, it's in one of the letters of Timothy. Oh, I'm in Thessalonians. It might help if I get in 1 Timothy 2. Yes, verse 5 of 1 Timothy 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That is, he's an intercessor. He's the go-between. On our behalf. First John chapter 2 put it like this. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, one who pleads our case for us. Wow. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. My little children, sin not. And if you do, know that you have an advocate, one who plead your case for you. Well, I need that on a daily basis. I'm glad he's there making intercession for me. Simply put, he is Lord. Well, let's look. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching. And he said he's Lord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made... Notice who made him Lord. God did. That God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Made him Lord and made him the anointed, made him the Messiah. Made him Lord and Christ. So, did you make him Lord? Did I make him Lord? Does anyone at any point make him Lord of their life? No, he's already made Lord. We need the Christian, the child of God. Listen, all you that are saved and our recent converts. He's Lord. And at the moment of salvation, we began to want to yield to. That was what the desire was in baptism. That's the first steps of yielding in obedience to the Lord. In his command. Philippians chapter 2. Another popular portion of scripture. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that is Jesus Christ,
and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You're either going to confess him Lord in this life as becoming the child of God, or you're going to confess him Lord in the life hereafter. And that'll be coming up in Matthew chapter 7. Too. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, but they're all going to call him Lord. Some will have everlasting life. And that calling him Lord is a term of endearment. Yes, Master. Yes, Master. But those who never sought to do his will, never sought to obey him, never sought to yield to his leadership, didn't want anything to do with him, we'll call him Lord. Only to have him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He's head of his body. Now we're talking in church context. He's head of his body, the body of Christ. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? That he's the head. We're the body. We're members. I might be a hand, and you an arm, and you a foot, and you a leg. But we're his body. So the head does what? Virtue of it being the head, it tells the rest of the body what to do. Tells me to move my arm. Move my feet. Move my hands. Blink my eyes. Tells my heart to beat. Let me see. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 22, Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things, that is, God hath put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 5, in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. He's our savior. And he's our savor. He's that which makes us a sweet smell ascending up into the nostrils of God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminent. He is the preeminent one. He has the preeminence. He's the head. He's Lord. He's master. Tells us furthermore, his body, he's purifying it. Ephesians 5. he's going to present it to himself, a bride without spot and without blemish. You see, he's preparing his bride. He's not going to take unto himself a harlot. It's going to be pure.
Amen.
Listen. Baptists have died by the thousands. And I'm talking about our forefathers and many of them before they were called Baptists. Baptist was a name just given to us by our enemies. You see, and through the ages we've been called Paulicians and Dotinists and all those terms of, they were to be terms of derision, but they were terms that set us apart from the rest of the religious world. In Bible days, they were just called those of that way. The way. Well, what were they talking about? Those who were in the way of Jesus Christ. They were following Jesus Christ. They were followers of His. Paul, at the time of his conversion, relating his conversion, talks about those that were in the way. He had letters to Damascus to persecute those that were in the way, you see. So Baptists have died by the thousands for their unshakable faith in the truth. When in the days of the Caesars and when they were commanded to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ or die, knowing the penalty and what cruel death that they would be submitted to, they would not renounce His name. Because they knew to do so would to have another God besides God. They knew the truth of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. See, they knew to listen to the Caesars and to anyone else that would command them to renounce the name of Jesus or die. They knew that would be bowing down to another God. That would be bowing down to man, not to the God of heaven, the one whom they had trusted their souls and trusted their very existence. They died for the cause of Christ and for the propagating of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's one Lord. One Lord. Not another. One Lord. Therefore, ought to be unity.
Amen.
In the body. Remember that was the central theme in verses 1 through 3. And now he's given us, as there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord. Therefore, there ought to be unity in the body. Well, we'll conclude there today. And next week, we'll grab, Lord willing, we'll grab one faith. It's the way. You see, those that are in the way. Not several ways, but one way, one faith. All right, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer from this service, and with the same prayer we'll open our business meeting, call our business meeting to order. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for
for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that we have come to acknowledge Him as Lord, come to realize and to acknowledge that You have made Him Lord. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that He's Lord by virtue of my redemption. He's Lord by virtue of Him being the head of the body that I'm a member of. Lord, help this not to be just truths that we acknowledge here when we're assembled together, when we're talking about it, but help us to acknowledge it in every aspect of our life, that we're His and He's mine. Let our life so shine. Thank You now, dear Heavenly Father, that as the body of Christ and have business to transact from time to time, thank You for the privilege of being able to assemble together as the body in unity to discuss the business of the church. Pray that You'd bless this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.